Blog Talk Radio.
You go busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you. You know how hard it is. No doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our streets. We won't be knowing the pain we be causing. This white man's world. This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all. I'm just in this white man's world. It's on. Yeah. For all those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison. I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews. Kitchen. They say don't let this cool world get you. Kind of suspicious. Swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's rich. Cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls inside of the sausage cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. Tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world. And on the road, what?
I'm
Day Core Day, all the real OGs. We out.
The seal and the Constitution.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom, and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. perception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, the Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA.
This
is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the Mecca Emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, your DNA an abomination. This how I dish when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, features out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretching in the banner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never owned, I don't camera stakes, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the ladder gate, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them
to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation.
this education. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they're doing when they up in the stars, because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chips in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, different position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs, or the media? Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed you because you knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads and straightened heads gonna be trying to wear afros when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that they're the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
When we talk about capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. Let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in, you know, in the African community, it affects us here in this country, because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair Nat Turner, co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, myself, and our education on ones and twos, Sister Amina. calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time, at 845-77-9266. Tonight's topic, the state of our children, continuation. We're going to open up our phone lines and introduce our national chair, Nat Turner. Black Power, Yahoo, Conrad, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Right on, brother. Yahoo, Black Power, and on a larger level, all power to the people, as our elders taught us that, who popularized that in the late 60s, going into the 70s. First of all, we want to let everybody know, those who's listening, last week, our show was sabotaged, which prevented us from doing tonight's show, which would have been a continuation of what we started 2 weeks ago. The state of our children, due to the material conditions, which drive or create these concrete realities that we find ourselves wallowing in here in this country, the so-called democracy. But it was no coincidence that our show didn't take place. To be blamed on some type of computer glitch or some type of electronic mechanism that failed to properly go through this procedure of allowing the show to be broadcast. We pay for this shit. It's not free. And yet we're told that we have the so-called constitutional right to express ourselves as so-called citizens of this so-called democracy. Last week was no more, no less than a continual apparent contradiction. Prove our enemies' wrongs every step of the way, and they even show themselves up as contradictory to norms, to something that is supposedly a democracy in its highest form, a contradiction to the point that it rails on fascism. What happened last week was no more, no different than what this country accuses other countries of doing in trying to control the radio apparatuses or the forms of communication in order to reach the people, the masses, or a specific group. In this case, in this country, people of African descent, black people, who are also known as Moors and whatnot, and even some of us who declare indigeneity in this part of the world. But nevertheless, we shall continue, and we will keep pushing forward to advance the liberation struggle, regardless of contrary to all the abstract notions of freedom, these utopian ideals of, reaching the mountaintop. No disrespect to Dr. King, but however, our realities speak volumes, and that our realities are so grim that we, as a political party, see the most practical solution is a revolutionary transformation of society. We don't just make this up. We don't just spew some type of rhetoric or whatever. We come from a historical perspective, from a critical thought process, a critical analysis of oppressed nations and oppressed peoples around the world. And they've all had to go through similar types of processes in order to liberate themselves from the woes that challenge them every day collectively as a group of people and oppress a nation of people. There may be those who have problems or disagree or may even turn their nose up at the notion or the suggestion of black people being an oppressed people in this country under this type of government. And what we would say is take a critical look yourselves and draw your conclusion as far as the present conditions go and how these conditions have reached such a low point in society and how they affect people of African descent. Nothing just occurs or just jumps up out of the sea or just out of a vacuum just by happenstance, just by coincidence. The conditions have to be created, or there have to be certain things that are manufactured in order to create the conditions which would drive realities that would be, in this sense, very hardcore concrete realities. And as a result of that, our youth have become byproducts of the decadence of American society, of American culture, of the failure on the part of the adult population, the elders even, to perform their normal, natural duties according to the laws of nature. To properly steer our youth onto a path that would lead them to prosperity, a path that would lead them to not only material success, but success as far as their spirituality goes, their type of psychology that would keep their humanism intact. And it has been a dismal failure on the part of the present adult population in this country. I can say, as being part of this present adult population, sadly, we have dropped the ball. Some of us have dropped the ball on purpose for a purpose. We cannot have this discussion without bringing to into focus class issues, which have even, you know, have plagued black people collectively. The colonized mind taking on the sick thought process, the twisted mentality of the collective white group, which is still the dominant group in terms of power, determining people's destinies, people's fate, as far as economics goes, politically, you know, socially, even from a religious point of view, dictating the course that serves the group in power, and particularly what is referred to as the white ruling class, the hierarchy that is set up in this so-called system, in the so-called democracy. You know, it is well beyond ludicrous to place some type of notion of a democracy in this, as far as the system goes. The problem, apparently, or the crux or the gist of it is getting people to believe and throwing all the weight on the voting process, which has numbed people to reality. Some of us are starting to catch on. Some of us have been caught on. Unfortunately, it would appear to be in the minority. But the white ruling class has pretty much perfected the art of bullshit, or the art of psychological persuasion, social engineering, brainwashing, and what have you. You know, and when you look at the conditions of the reality, it's so much more different than the fiction, you know. But our youth have reached a almost ultimately low point. I believe that there's room left to descend even lower. And it's gotten so, this word wanton, you know, W-A-N-T-O-N, it has gotten so, even in a sense, animalistic. And it's very painstaking some time to use such a terminology when you take a look at the real world, the so-called neighborhoods and communities that some of us will label as Little Vietnams and whatnot, the so-called ghetto conflict zones, these terminologies that are used overseas by this government when they're referring to such regions of the world as, let's say, Latin America, in places in Africa, such as the Sudan, the Congo, which is the heart of Africa. These things do not just occur, they don't just rear their ugly head without no predicate. And what's there, what's taking place there, is no different than what's going on here in a local level, so to speak, or within the boundaries of the jurisdiction of this country. It's a very sinister game, and there's many planks, there's many like compartments to it, and there's a number of results or desired results that are achieved or desires which end up as results, so to speak. One thing that comes to mind is population control. Population control can mean, for instance, depopulation, which is no more, no less than genocide, but in a very sophisticated form. And you can create the conditions to make it appear self-inflicted, then that would sort of give these white talking head pundits the sort of freedom, so to speak. It would free them of culpability. And this is something that has been perfected in this country. There's this philosophy referred to as Malthusianism after some honky who lived 200 years ago named Thomas Malthus, M-A-L-T-H-U-S. I don't think the H is pronounced, or some may pronounce it Thomas Malthus. But there's this thing called Malthusian philosophy. And this Malthusian philosophy was pretty much the idea that the planet is overpopulated, that the planet during this time would end up being overpopulated or is on a trajectory into the future, would be overpopulated to the point where there won't be enough sustenance to go around to feed all these mouths. And that's the one thing that comes to mind. And when you look at our youth, black youth out there in these mean streets of America, that's what you see. You see a manufactured, artificial form of genocide, which would appear in the service to be self-inflicted. And this has been labeled black-on-black crime. Black-on-black crime is no more or less than a manufactured product no different than Coca-Cola, no different than when a sneaker company known as Nike manufactures sneakers. It was a long time ago, this Air Jordan thing, this Air Nike thing that hit in the late 80s on into the 90s. And I had a cousin who had been living in California at the time. And one day I got a piece of mail from him, and he had sent me this mail, and the mail was a paper, and it demonstrated how the Nike Corporation had pretty much moved this operation overseas into a poor country, such as countries like Bangladesh, Pakistan, the subcontinent of India in Central Asia, where poor black and brown indigenous people exist. And this was the exploitative nature of the capitalists. Spend less, save, but profit more. This is the whole hallmark of capitalism. Profit mode is capitalism's religion. And capitalism is its Bible. And so, see, I'd like to say this, to create conditions that would drive a people into a position where they become vulnerable. And so when you control the and you can dictate to that particular group how that group is going to fare by doing such things as that, and it will drive up crime, unemployment and whatnot, or the control factors of unionism and labor and all types. So this is where, the socialists, the communists kick in about, workers' rights or the working class labor movement, which, back in Europe in the 19th century, 20th century, whatnot, these revolutions have been taking place. And the poor would always be performing the most laborious tasks and end up in such conditions to where they become virtually desperate. And being in a particular environment, the people that are around you become the prey in order to be able to survive. And this social Darwinism thing is similar to it. This thing about trying to get people to internalize this thing about the strong naturally overtakes the weak. Now, they've tried to bend this so-called rule from the plant kingdom, animal kingdom and whatnot, and then transfer that or as a transference on the human populations. It's a real sinister operation, and our youth have become so disillusioned due to the failures of those who are responsible for raising them, those who are responsible not only raising them, but those who are responsible for chastising them, shirking the responsibility to be men, to be black men, particularly. Let alone black mothers who no more, no less than nurturers of boys, which is a real, real, man, some of the terms that I can't even come up with sometimes, And so what has happened now, which has escalated even more, the youth have turned to themselves. They have gotten off on their own. In the meantime, the older folks pretend as though they don't understand. A lot of us are going around, with our heads in the sand, until we even get our heads out of our asses and, face these challenges that our youth face on a daily basis. And again, We cannot have this discussion without looking at class. And as I said, this was the motivating factors for the Europeans, which brought on these so-called revolutions, you know, the German Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and, of course, with the expansion of the whites into black and brown indigenous territories or inhabited spaces, which caused non-white revolutionary transformation of society. It's just that America is the last bastion of the revolutionary transformation of society and the potential that exists. And this is what the state is trying to prevent from taking place. In place of that, you know, handing out programs and concessions, social welfare, whatever. It's been said that welfare is a form of violence against poor people, black and brown and poor people, due to how it's structured. You know, but, you know, as I said, you know, the youth, you know, they've turned to themselves so many things, the school system that we label in the South, you know, the public school system, it has failed our children. And again, there may be those who, you know, who want to disagree, or just, you know, those who just want to antagonize just to be antagonistic, you know, to play the devil's advocate or whatever, you know, the old saying, you know. But, you know, we don't, you know, we don't entertain bullshit like talking about it or whatever. But, you know, we come from a perspective that we believe is sound and practical. The Black Panther Party 10-point program, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Point number 7, which focuses on community control, the educational system, pay gate genius, you know, to really understand, realize that when you're in school, in this country, images is everything. As a matter of fact, there's a book that was written by one Edward Bernays, and I've mentioned him before. The book he wrote called Propaganda. It's not a, you know, not really a, you know, a thick book. You know, it's very readable. Those may be interested in really understanding what time it is, how you can socially engineer people's minds, how you can turn people into material animals. A diamond is a girl's best friend. The creation of the most famous breakfast in the world, I believe, is bacon, eggs, and sausage or whatever. You know, you know, how some of these breakfast pubs and whatever started, these diners and stuff. You know, it was a sitcom that came on in the 80s, even the 70s, referred to as Mel's Diner. You know, and this is an example of how you can socially engineer people's minds. But propaganda means everything to the state. It would be a sitting duck if it could not operate with its propaganda in full swing. And so the school system and imagery, when it comes to black youth, there's so many things, man. You know, mind racing, try to you know, spread these things out and sort of like a clear picture. But very important for any group people to be in control of the schooling system. After all, the school is a sort of secondary home to our youth, besides, you know, the first and primary home, which has been devastated, which has left black women under constant attack, pressure and stress to perform in themselves, coming under such duress to where a lot of them have losing their minds, have lost their minds. And of course, you know, this thing, almost mythical, you know, the missing in action dad, or whatever you want to call it, you know, the father not being in the house. And some people speak about that shit as though it just, like, it just happened. You know, like black men just woke up one day and just decided that they wanted to stop being fathers. You know, it's amazing, you know, how that's done. And a lot of times, even our own people, you know, you have to take a look at individuals or who speak that way. More times than not, you see, you know, that they're making good money. So, you know, the old thing, when you didn't have anything, when a lot of those brothers didn't have anything, you know, they didn't have anything to say. When they so-called came up, all of a sudden, their mentality changed. And they found room to join in the beating of the black man, the black male. But we don't have that. The same thing as when they and I'll never be able to say this enough, use as examples. When Dylan Klebold shot up the school, I believe it was Columbine school. It appears every time when these types of mass killings on the part of the white so-called deranged males take place, that the sociologists, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, what have you, are always called out and sprung into action to psychoanalyze why Dylan Klebold did what he did. And a lot of times, sometimes they look and see that these individuals come from broken homes, and the father was missing and whatnot, and all these different type of things. And a lot of times these persons end up being victims who end up winning sympathy in some cases, other than being completely seen as a monster who should be given the electric chair. You know what I'm saying? But it just goes to show you the two sides of the coin, you know. But again, when you speak about the school mechanism, a wing of the state, a wing of the capitalist mode of production, and the control of the imagery is to feed the imagery that looks like the ones who are in control of the power. Of an instance, I encounter youth every day, you know, young people, you know, and I, you know, out in public, and you know, if it's ten times, I would say eight or nine times out of ten, you know, I ask them and stop them for a second and ask them, you know, do they know who Marcus Garvey is, or have they ever heard of a man named Marcus Garvey, and you know. If it's not 10 times out of 10 times, 9 times out of 10 times, or 9.5 times out of 10 times that they've never heard of. So people say, well, what's the whole point here? The whole point, again, is imagery. Black boys need to see positive images as though this is being said for the first time. You know what I'm saying? We just reiterating it, you know, but school has become even itself a sort of co-ed prison. But so much so to the point where a lot of these new schools are being these so-called new 21st century, whatever you want to call them, science and technology, sophisticated buildings and whatnot, have become no more, no less than co-ed prison. Dressed up real well, you know, but our youth, school, like their press says, you know, about the education system. If the school system can't teach us, how to, you know, take care of ourselves, how, you know, progress. What's the other word I'm looking for? How to flourish, in other words. Then, you know, they say, you know, the hell with education. You know, it leaves they shit. You know what I'm saying? So there's numerous factors which place our youth at a sheer disadvantage. And it's almost as if there are those in the betting world. What I mean by the betting world, the Wall Street gang, the Wall Street mob, the Wall Street cartels, who do illegal betting. And in some instances, they bet on failure being the order of the day. And this is a legal means to cash in. You know, and so this school with the prison pipeline. And the prison pipeline becoming a private entity, such as Wackett Hut, or Correction Corporation of America, corporate entities. It's only fitting that if there has to be such a facility, we refer to as a concentration camp, take a genius that facility is useless or is worthless or is cashless or is profitless if it doesn't have any so-called image. So the profit is predicated on image. So where are you going to get these images from? You know, in Louisiana, there's been this law, this code, this mandate, whatever you want to call it, on the part of the pig governor to now take our young boys, youth, who have been as juveniles for committing crimes against the state. We don't say the people. We say crimes against the state. And that may be problematic for some to understand that. But we can explain that for no problem. George Jackson, who was a political prisoner in the late 60s, up till 71, had made it clear that it wasn't the people versus George Jackson. It was the state versus George Jackson. And so we had come to understand that by becoming politicized and understand the conditions of oppression, the mechanisms of oppression, political oppression, power, brute force, you know, the economic conditions in the so-called ghetto, which just didn't, like I said, just jump out of the seat. You know what I'm saying? There are a number of books, written about these conditions, you know, that some people seem to don't see. There's no excuse in it at all. Everything has a point of origin. There's no group of people who are perfect. Among all groups, we have those who struggle, who may fail to qualify, so to speak, within society. And in the capitalist system, then you refer to as a useless eater. But what happens when you can create useless eaters in droves artificially? If you can create useless eaters in droves artificially, then you create a condition to where it verges on genocide. You can almost, when you say self-inflicted genocide, it's almost equating to suicide. You know? But how are you being bombarded with alien faces or alien imagery that they can't relate to. And so if they can't relate to it, then they become hostile to it. It's a knee-jerk reaction to imagery that looks like them if it's not shaped in the fashion to where they can learn to appreciate it. You know, this is why you have the white Santa Claus, you know, the white Jesus. When you were told that you're going to heaven and whatnot, there's white angels. In the 60s, you know, they made the movies portraying the ancient Egyptians. And here they use, I believe it was Elizabeth Taylor, I think, was named to play Cleopatra. And when they would make the movie about the Hebrews or the Israelites or what have you, the story of Moses, they chose Charlton Heston to play Moses. And so these are all the forms of imagery that goes into the makeup of it, you know. And so some smart blacks or some intellectual blacks begin to develop the notion, the contact or the contact that for brainwashing, to where black men started dressing up as Santa Claus, and you know, would end up in the shopping mall, you know, with little stations set up, you know, like Santa Claus, and little black children would go and sit on the lap and take pictures. And the parents would bring their children, you know, to partake in that right there. That right there. Whether the parent was poor or whether the parent was a PhD grad, you know, it went all across the board. There was no distinctions. There were no distinctions, period. And that right there is a classic example. Kill them before they grow. And you deprive them of imagery that looks like them, and all that imagery that's prosperous, that's famous, that's a hero, don't look anything like them. And these are the things that manifested at an early age. And so, you know, the state prepares our children for failure. It sets our children up to fail. And I'm not, what I'm saying is not anything new. This has been said, you know, decades ago. It has been said decades ago. There's been certain psychiatrists, certain psychologists or education gurus from the black struggle who have demonstrated this on many occasions. And it has become so sophisticated that we have to keep being able to recognize it. But it's gotten so overwhelmed with few of us. A lot of us have went on and achieved our personal endeavors and our personal goals and have not looked back. Other groups, the Vietnamese, you know, the East Asian gangs, you know, Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, or whatever, you know, they practice a form of nationalism because they know that they're a minority or a small group as a label, that is, and would be placed at a disadvantage if they did not turn inward to themselves and, you know, even economically, you know, financially, what have you. You don't see, you know, Vietnamese people, like, talking about it, East Asians, you know, shopping at the few black-owned joints that black people own. You know, you don't find, you know, East Asians indulging in black prosperity or helping fill our coffers to sustain ourselves in this country. You know, there's many things the state of having some type of identity. Has to be a nationalist idea. Anybody from the so-called black diaspora who begs to differ, we have to examine their minds. You know, we have to take a look at why. And back, you know, also to go along with the schooling apparatus, right? Let's look at it. Let's look at the fact that our children are constantly monitored in school. Okay, and it is very clear as to what you know it is boiled down to. Any black child, any black youth who shows such a tenacious appetite for math and English, you know, a will to want to read, you know, I remember, you know, when I was in school, and not to, you know, get so personal, but I remember when I was in school, with English class, whatever your or class where we had to read, and you know, the teacher used to, you know, ask who want, you know, who would like to read, you know, so on and so page from, and I used to raise my hand a lot of the times, not because I felt that was better than any of the students. I felt that reading was like, it was like a challenge, like, you know, you know, pronounce so-called big words. Like it was like, you know, like the words challenged me, you know, and I took it on, you know, it's just something I like to do. I never looked at my classmates as dumb and whatnot, you know, none of that. But you develop an appetite, so to speak. You know, some of us do more than others. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, really don't mean shit. But to the state, it does. It's borderline simply down to this. This thing Du Bois come up with about the talent in the 10th. You know, this shit Du Bois talked about the talent in the 10th 100 years ago. You know, it seems so delightful in a sense. But realizing now, the whole point is that you had 10 people in the room, and one out of that 10 was a so-called brainiac, a brain. You know, there's this cartoon that used to come on called Pinky and the Brain, and it's like, I think it was like two rats or mice or whatever they were, and you know, Pinky was like the one with the little brain, and the brain, of course, he was going with the big brain, but somehow Pink would just stumble upon the answer. But it was really the brain, you know, that knew everything, and Pinky, you know, followed his lead on everything. That kind of shit there. And so if it's one in the room, then that's the talent of the 10th. Because the 10th is the 10th of 100. You see, 10 tens is 100. So this is a concept that Du Bois had gotten around to. It's only fitting that he did because he was part of it. And so the state recognized that, the state realized that. So we're going to do one or two things with this talent intent. You either help us continue ruling and dominating and turn our shit into an empire and keep the empire going so you go to work for the empire, or that talent intent would end up being the leadership that would bring about the liberation of the rest of the masses who would end up following. And this is what this talented 10 shit was actually about. And so they were recruiting us, you know, in this, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and the 80s, those who was in high school, they were recruiting us on the slick, so to speak. Well, places in certain types of classrooms, certain type of math classes, apart from other students in other math classes. And they were instilling our minds that we were the cream of the crop, and that if I made a B on my test score, then in the other classes, that would be considered as an A. You know what I'm saying? And so this is the type of social engineering, and this is what they do. This is how this shit works. And we've had a lot of people come in our midst over the past 100 years that have understood it, and they never really said it, and they never really explained the shit. They've benefited from it. They've profited from it. They've been able to live in their own circle while the rest of us not understanding, not knowing, those of us who will be the followers. You know, there's nothing wrong with being the follower. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I say there's nothing wrong with being a follower as long as the leader has some goddamn sense. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, he just possesses, you know, just certain things, you know, that the people could follow and, you know, on the path to liberation. There's this thing about freedom. Most people, political parties, don't believe freedom is necessary to liberation. Freedom, yeah, freedom from the shackles that were around our arms and our legs and our necks. Yeah, freedom from that. We were able to move around much more easier without the burden of that weight. And we're able to move around, but yet our freedom still had not maxed itself out because we jumped out of the jail into a jam. You know, the sharecropping, the reconstruction, the Jim Crow, the segregation, now the concessions, the deal making behind closed doors. You know, give us a first black governor of Virginia. You know, give us Douglas Wilder. You know, give us Colin Powell, the first black cream of the crop, chief of all chiefs of all the militaries. You know, give us that. You know, give us the first black Supreme Court justice, Thurgood Marshall. Then follow that with Clarence butt-licking Thomas. You know, give us that. You know, then give us a black president at last. As elders who, at 70 and up, you know, who never thought that they'd live to see a black president. And he had a bucket list. And on that bucket list was to live to see a black president be elected. And they took part in helping him get in there. You know, give us that. You know, don't give us liberation. Give us a black president. And this black president is going to empower our youth, our young people. You know, the euphoria of Obamaism, you know, without our people even understanding, so blinded by him being black. You know, that we can see the forest for the trees. Actually, there was a European in New Orleans who had lived in an upscale neighborhood, you know, along the so-called famous St. Charles Avenue, where people come from, you know, different parts of the country, whatever, even different parts of the world, and ride on the so-called St. Charles trolley, you know, to see the mansions and whatnot, you know. And this European had put up a big, huge, like, sign, and he had hung it over his wooden gate for all to see. And word had gotten out that this white man who lived in an upscale neighborhood had put this sign out about Obama. And they felt it was an attack on their black president. How dare you, racist and whatnot, you know, scum of the earth. And on this sign, he had all these things on there. And the average person who, it was a protest, you know, they went around, you know, news people coming, everything. And the average black person couldn't even fathom what the sign had on. All they know is that some white racist man was attacking a black president. You know, but the things that were on the sign were they true or not? And hardly anybody could deal with that. And so, yeah, you know, it can be heart-wrenching, but we ain't playing that shit. Or you black, brown, red, yellow, especially white. You know, capitalism don't have a color. Capitalism is capitalism. White rule is white rule in the most sophisticated forms. You know, and so our youth, as a result of that, have become so displaced. They've been so disillusioned, acting out in ways that the adults or the older people pretend that they can't explain, pretend that they don't even have the answers to. And so to create these conditions, such as the land grabs that further increase the decadence, and it's only natural that you will get the type of behavior that the state would label as criminal. The whites will pretend that, you know, we're equals, and they'll give us that Martin Luther King shit all day. You know, celebrate with us. His birthday come around, and all across the country, you see blacks and whites celebrating and recreating the march from, what was it, Selma to Montgomery, whatever it was, and so forth. You know, have the ceremonies and whatever. While in the real world, they're practicing white power. And that white power is detrimental to our black survival. And our youth are displaying the frustration, the pain, the anger, the rage, the failure on the part of our adults and our elders. We have decided to turn their backs on one end, and on the other end, want to claim Jesus in the church on Sunday. It's an amazing display of psychology. And they're wondering why the youth are so disrespectful. You know, they're wondering why the youth will speak anyway, wherever they are, regardless of who's around. You know, I'm quite sure those of us who listen to, we've experienced younger people, you know, on their phones, on they got their earpieces, and they're just carrying on, you know, these spates of so-called school violence. As even been cases where the students record these confrontations. And in some of these recordings, you see the child being violated physically, you know, by a school official or the pig. No. This is damn near rock bottom. But I will say this, there's a preparation for a bigger war that many of us don't understand. It's okay, well, what are you talking about here now, brother? Well, what do you mean? It was preparation for a war. This is something actually that was sort of put on my mind some years ago by this brother who I consider to be very keen when looking at, you know, the reality of black life in this country. And sizing things up, you know. And this is something that he was explaining. And he was saying that, you know, this country is headed toward a cataclysm. John F. Kennedy said, those who made peace for change impossible would make violent revolution never. And there's also those who understand, who place violence in the rationalistic perspective. When they look at violence, they see violence different from the average Joe and Joanne. There are those who, in the 60s, and even today, I want to see with two forms of violence, and that's oppressive violence and revolutionary violence. George Washington and the gang proved that. They were manifestations of it. And you start talking about violence, people get nervous. They want to ask, are you advocating violence? I'm advocating liberation. It's as simple as that. You couldn't possibly expect a group of people to constantly stay subjected to conditions, and they don't act out in some kind of form or some kind of manner. And so you take them, you place them in a controlled environment in a prescribed area, which is no different than you can take, as a matter of fact, you can take some of the youth out of the ghetto, out of the so-called hood, and from one controlled environment and bring them to another controlled environment. And that controlled environment just happened to be for this or for that. And the same form of violence that they would carry out in the urban environment is the same form of violence that they would be taught to carry out, but on a much bigger arena, in a scientific manner, in a conscious manner. And that is what you refer to as an American soldier. In a military, at war over what? At war for what? According to the present indoctrination, the war against terrorism, the war against terror. If you ask what's left of the so-called Indians, then they'll tell you that this war on terror that the so-called white man is in the business of committing himself to, he had already done it to the so-called Indians. And that was predicated on what? Taking the land. So this violence in the hood, it would be, such a labeling as unscientific, as undisciplined violence, as faceless violence, which is a word that Chuck D used in one of the many songs as a leader of the rap group Public Enemy, which had its numerous moments of controversy, because they spoke in a language that was unbecoming of black music or conscious music, And so when you see, these factionalism, tribalism, street tribalism, it's no more than a manufactured product of white violence in blackface, and that the way it's going, that this violence due to the laws of nature will take on a conscious face at some point in time, blind rage and the conscious power. And so it would be foolish on the part of the state resurrect our youth. It would be ridiculous on their part to feed them some type of consciousness that would turn away from black-on-black violence and then coming to recognize in the conscious manner what their conditions have been about consciously. Instinctually, the youth know that their hood is messed up, that it didn't get this way just by coincidence. It's just that they're the pawns in it. They're the players. I've come to the understanding that, you know, you have these different types of subgroups in the black population. I've come to understand that there's Africans, blacks, Negroes, and niggas, and that the niggas outnumber all the other three combined, and that at some point there has to be a tidal wave, a tsunami on their part. Now, this tsunami, again, has to take on a consciousness of itself, or blind rage, and destroy itself. It can only do one or two things. And if you let the state tell it, then the state would rather the second. But if the first was to take place, then the state would get in control of it. The state would get in front of it. No different than what Malcolm X was talking about when he had said he had actually witnessed the March on Washington, the indigenous March on Washington, the people's galvanizing of their March on Washington, and that the so-called Negro leadership was instructed to get to get control of it, to get in front of it, you know, to add a face to it. Let it be the Molotov cocktail, so to speak, that J. Edgar Hoover talked about in the FBI counterintelligence program, where they spoke about the prevention of the rise of a black messiah, one who can electrify, the oppressed masses of black people, and particularly the youth. They always talked about the youth, the young people. You know? And this is real shit. I don't have to make this up. I don't have to create an excuse. You know, as individuals, we each, yes, can make a choice. You know, but the choice is not just predicated on the personal choice alone. As an individual, choice is also influenced by what's referred to as societal norms or values. And what are the values of this society? The values of this society are material values. Or they have anything to do with spiritual values, with even ethical values. You know, this bullshit. These so-called professionals. Want us that they up. Like an ancient Kemet, they upheld the way of life referred to Maya, and it was a way of life and the seven principles, seven laws, the seven codes of Maya. You know, one of those is reciprocity. You see what I'm saying? It reads well on paper. It reads well on paper. But the Europeans historically have never really been consistent with any of that, because they're so driven as materialists, you know, living in such a concrete world. You know what I'm saying? The thing. You know, and so we see it as a farce, you know, but it is the material conditions that also plays a part in influencing one's choices. And this is not into the discussion or the conversation when it talks about we all have a choice. Well, you know, yeah, he had a choice to not pull that trigger, but he pulled the trigger. He didn't have to pull the trigger, but he pulled the trigger. And it's easy for people to say that. And see, this is the escape hatch. This is the escape hatch for a lot of black men to not reach back, or the escape hatch for a lot of black men to not face the reality that's right around the corner. You know, the level of fear in itself, fear of reprisal if those certain black men had decided to galvanize the youth and actually make a move to abolish the woes that inflict us collectively. You know, and this is where it's at. For those who at this stage, you know, who may want to comment, you know, press the, you know, the one, you know, on your phone, and you know, enter the queue, and we'll get you in with a question or comment, like that. This is, we going into it. We don't believe in generalizing anything, you know, they said, you know. No, they said, no, locate and identify, because the people's conscious level must be raised. And if there's no validity in this counterintelligence program objective, then there was no, it would be no need to put it in the air, you know. A black, why would J. Edgar Hoover speak, use the expression, a black messiah, if it didn't carry any weight? And so, there's even, you know, the white liberalism, you know, the liberalism bullshit, the neoliberalism bullshit, you know, such as Joe Biden, you know, the liberal bullshit, you know, the, again, you know, to make deals or hand out concessions. It's a level of confusion or a level of measure of being quite naive to think that Joe Biden and Donald Trump don't have anything in common. You know, it's almost absolutely missing the mark. And I said it because I'm very leery of this absolute shit, you know. But there are those who actually believe that Joe Biden is nothing like Donald Trump. You know, actually believe that, you know. And the okey-doke, you know, the okey-doke, the same program, and the Europeans are going to keep resorting to these tactics, these strategies, you know, until they run out. You know, so our youth were coming up, you know, finishing at the top of their class. They could only do one or two things. They could serve the empire and be rewarded for it. And what are those rewards? Access to material luxury. Or they could serve their own people and help lead our people to liberation collectively. You know, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. And that's been going on for 100 years. Those who have come out, who have been projected, was his leaders. The young people followed him. And, you know, the attempt to serve two masters. The pretension is no different than white people pretending that black people were savages. And black people didn't create no civilizations, that black people didn't create no written languages, that black people didn't build no pyramids, that white people are obsessing over, that they spent pouring all types of money, science and technology, still trying to figure out, and pretend that black people didn't do anything because it wipes their conscience clean. And if it wipes their conscience clean, then they can treat black people any way they want with impunity and not feel anything. Not feel anything, not feel nothing. And then legitimize their actions and say that we brought civilization to the primitives. We brought Christianity to the pagans, commerce to the uncivilized. You know, we brought them civilization. As a matter of fact, they'd like us to believe they, white people collectively, or the historic white ruling class, from George Washington on to Biden and Trump. They'd like us to believe that slavery was a blessing in disguise, as a matter of fact. And there's even some so-called blacks, genetically black people, who even push this type of brainwash to justify the treatment, to justify the conditions. Milka Cabral made it very clear as leader of the revolution in Cape Verde, West Africa, Guinea-Bissau. He made it very clear that when the Europeans came, civilization stopped. It didn't progress, it stopped. This is why they still referring to Latin America, Africa, and West Asia, for the most part, as developing nations. And as developing nations, the youth, even in that part of the world, have become so traumatized, so colonized in their minds that they cannot see overcoming the colonizing, but be confrontational among themselves as the colonized in the same conditions. But there's a growing consensus due to the laws of nature that is reversing this trend. And this is the struggle in America. Our youth are brilliant. Our youth have such a pizzazz about them that it can be scary. You know, in these land grab communities around the country, where the whites are doing no more, no less than a sophisticated form of recolonizing, of a sophisticated form of neocolonialism, very sophisticated form, and most important of all, legal. But you'd be wasting your time asking, as some of us would like to do, would ask, but is it morally right? You see, on one end, the Europeans would give us the Bible, Christianity, Catholicism, what have you, Jesus. On one end, the Ten Commandments and whatnot, you know. And on the other end, they give us what? White power. You know what I'm saying? And so, what is the blowback from? Like the blowback from the Iraqi war. What was the blowback from that? The blowback from Afghanistan. Yeah, the Taliban is still there. It ain't went nowhere. New Haven trade is still there. It ain't went nowhere. You know, brought to you by the CIA. In actuality, the Taliban were in the business of eradicating the poppy. I mean, the opium business. As strange as they may sound. You know, but the point is that the youth would turn at some point. They would begin to get it. They begin to understand it. They begin to slowly but surely get it. And when they get it, they would consciously start doing what? They would spill out. The Europeans are so caught up in creating these utopias for themselves that they forgot one thing. that what became so condensed had dried up. And due to the material nature of things, then isn't but one way to go to get it. And this is what you see taking place in pockets of the country. And so what are the whites scrambling to do? Gun sales have went up, you know. You know what I'm saying? They want more police. They want more federal funding for police and whatnot, all that type of shit. So it's blowback time. You see, it only becomes important now. Crime becomes a major issue in the value of life, because the whites now, the white middle class, in particular, who has been the buffer between the white ruling class and the poor blacks, they're in the middle. And this is what you see. This is what's taking place. And this is what the brother meant, so to speak. When you're talking about a war in preparation for a bigger war. You see? And then on top of that, you have these fates of these state-backed murders of black males, young black men. You know? And in disguise, what is that doing? It's driving more and more and more rebelliousness against the police apparatus. This is where it's at. You see, there's some, you talking about, you're talking about the youth, the young people, these usual conversations, these usual explanations of things, these usual explaining of things. Here become unorthodox, comes sort of an exception. So much so, which is basically the reason why last week's show was sabotaged. Probably won't be able to say this enough when you talk about politicizing the people, politically educating the masses of black people who've been dumbed down, who have been betrayed, who have been used as cannon fodder, who have been used as stepping stone for these athletes and actors and entertainers. Look at the commercials, the brilliant minds that make these commercials, that come up with these commercials, make the commercials fun, In other words, you give me a cut, I get in the commercial. I make the commercial entertain. To sell you what? The latest smartphone, to get you to buy one, to get you to get one, or whatever the case may be. And they cannot even see themselves as part of the problem. They cannot even see themselves as implicit in this cycle of so-called black-on-black violence. They can't even see themselves. They got their hair so far up in the clouds. They can't even see themselves as being part of the problem. The drive for material accumulation. As a word that was sort of popular in the 70s, 80s. I remember when you charm someone, this thing is sometimes where people use, he's very charming or whatnot. What is a charm? The cereal that they made, that, a box of Lucky Charms, with the little leprechaun. You charmed, I believe there was a little hour drama called Charmed or something like that, whatever. Of course, it got to be white girls who, you know, the witches and whatnot, that kind of shit. But that's real shit. It's real shit. That's real. It's real shit. It's real as real can get. To charm you. You know? and that's part of it. That's part of it. And they can't see themselves as part of it, period. Yeah, you know, some of them, whatever, you know, they Christmas come, they, you know, hand out, you know, Christmas toys to the underprivileged. You know what I'm saying? Turkeys and whatnot. Sort of consolation, I guess, or whatever. But they can't see themselves as part of it. You know, to them, it's what you call success. You know? And it's going to keep spinning itself until the people have become conscious enough to make it stop spinning and drive their liberation into reality. You know? And there's, so there's been a lot of so-called black people who've been just as complicit, who've been accomplices, willing accomplices, as much as the little dudes who murdered XXXTentacion. You know, the trigger man, his accomplice who drove the van. You know, accomplice to a robbery, and accomplice to a murder, and accomplice to a rape, you know, and accomplice to a burglary. Yeah, accomplices too. And all this goes into this one big huge pot. Like gumbo. And so how you, like I said, have turned to themselves. They're their own leaders. They're their own minds. The only question is, what's in their minds? And who can get to them? Like I said, the state will take them and bring them to a controlled environment. In the high school, what they call it, ROTC. You know, I had a little comrade who used to share with me his experiences when he was in high school. You know, the junior Marie, he was, you know, he's explaining all these things. You know, he said, "Well, okay, well, if we're gonna turn the youth back, if we're gonna turn the youth around. We're gonna turn the youth around to our benefit, or else." He can destroy himself. But if they're going to turn the youth around, that is the state, then it has to be profitable. It has to be profitable. So, okay, well, the Vietnamese said it was people's war. Well, it was people's war, it was people's army. And so they developed people's army to solve their problems from French imperialism and U.S. imperialism. You know, they realized they had to make sacrifice. Some black people want rain without thunder. You know, it's Frederick Douglass said that. I didn't make this shit up. That's what Frederick Douglass said. You know, Leo Tolstoy, white theoretician or utilitarian, or whatever they have to call themselves, or whatever. His way was putting was picture me sitting on your back, and you have to always hold me up, and you toiling to hold me up. But I give you a plate of food and tell you, see, I care about you. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. And this is what we face. So we as people's political part, we believe that the youth should be politically educated and that they should become conscious of themselves, and becoming conscious of themselves, realizing their power potential, that they can take their own lives back into their own hands in a conscious manner than the revolutionary men. The capitalists have thwarted reform time and again. They've pretty much put before you the tarantula or the scorpion, and you take and you pick which one you want to get bitten by. We say none of them. And there are a lot of brothers and sisters. And if there's 10 whites in the room, yeah, maybe one of them or half of them, half of one, may actually be sincere and try to make a contribution to the black liberation struggle, going beyond the Black Lives Matter slogan. You know? And get the youth to the point that the youth became in Algeria, that they became in Vietnam, that they became in Cuba, and even right here in America under the leadership of George Washington. Under the leadership of George Washington. And as a result of that, there's the 4th of July and George Washington. It is what it is. And we understand that there the casualties that are amount, as well as Ho Chi Minh understood in Vietnam, the casualties. And so you want to talk about empowering youth, empowering a certain segment of the youth, empowering a certain segment of the youth to pretty much help the empire maintain itself. And we believe that if you're going to be in power, then we should take the EM off the front of the word empowerment and just call it power. And people should have the power to determine their own destinies, like any other group of people. The minute you try to snatch power from white people and dictate to white people how they're going to live, where they're going to live, or how they're going to be, they'll get violent with you overnight. They'll shift. They'll shift into what their ancestors were. And the ultimate factor in the common denominator has been force. And these are the conditions that drive it, what you see today. You see what you see today. This is what you have today. And this is what we mean by the state of our children, the state of our youth. And people's minds are being blown. You know, when they read in a newspaper, on the news, that a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old shot and killed somebody. As though America somehow, some kind of way, is this great benevolent society. And the whites have to pretend that they're shocked. I mean, that's their favorite word when reality just says, and they're shocked. I'm shocked. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So we had better do something, those of us who claim we love the children like old Marty Mark used to say on Mark. We'd better do something. And this is no made for TV shit, none of that. It's reality. If you've been in the community, in the neighborhood, in the streets, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, well, build you a fortress. Led it toward a cataclysm. The young people are just acting out all the failures. All the failures that have come along due to a conscious decision on the part of those who are in power and those who have been part of the power structure. Black, brown, red, yellow, and of course white. A little structured whites who have decided to go along with the shit. In the meantime, Jesus and the outcasts are on the other side of the fence. And on that note, we say, Yahuru, Black Power, all power to the people. Stay tuned for our next week's show. In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm Chairman Nat Turner, one of your hosts, my co-host, my Minister of Defense for the Motherland, and our assault technician on the ones and twos. Our sister Iman O'Shawn, who is our National Minister of Communications. Yes, and we have responsibilities. We don't take them just because they sound fancy. But this is our role. For as a revolutionary organization. And so we out of here.
Consciousness. Without human consciousness, there is no world. It is the presence of human consciousness that brings meaning into the world. Without human beings in this world, conscious human beings in this world, in effect, there would not be a world. We bring the world into being through our consciousness. And through our consciousness, we create the world we live in. Out of the totality of reality, our consciousness cuts out a world that's a bit itself. In other words, the kind of world you exist in reflects the kind of consciousness that you have. And notice, if you change your consciousness or change your values and orientation, you enter into a different world. You interact with different people. People often that you didn't even know existed in the world. Social situations that you might not have even recognized until you entered into a new level of consciousness. You see people, say, for instance, who become addicted, say, to crack or something, and now enter into a whole world and enter into a whole social system that before they became addicted, they hardly noticed. They didn't know what it was all about. And they picked up new friends and new relations, whole new ways of acting, whole new purposes in life. They lost old friends, broke with old families, all kinds of things. In other words, the consciousness, that addictive consciousness, brought into the world a new foreground and put other things into the background. Therefore, man's consciousness is a creative act. And the kind of consciousness you have will determine the kind of world you create. And consequently, when you look at the world that we live in, African people, we must recognize to a great extent it is a world of our own creation. It is a world that has been generated by the type of consciousness we've been permitted to be instilled in us. Consciousness.